a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening and happy Advent season to you. A blessed Advent season, I should say. Merry Christmas. And I hope that you are enjoying life on this Sunday evening. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm Kim Cotola, your host here at Cradle My Heart Radio. And it's also a pleasure to be able to welcome our guest tonight. You know, our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And when we think about that, the best way that we do is to refer to the people who are enacting that plan on a practical basis for women in pregnancies day in and day out in the pregnancy health community. Our guest tonight is Cindy Boston, who is Vice President of Heartbeat International. And Cindy, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
What an honor. It's a pleasure to be here.
You and I first met, I think, a year or two ago, maybe a little bit longer, at Heartbeat's Babies Go to Congress event. And you were still serving at the local level as a CEO of a pregnancy help center. And before we talk about Heartbeat's presence in Washington and Heartbeat's presence in local communities helping women in pregnancies, let's talk about your work in the pregnancy help community. You are CEO of a center in Missouri.
Yes, that's right. I actually was part of an initial committee, a board that was nominated to start a pregnancy center in Springfield, Missouri. And we did that back in 1998. We got property. We opened a facility after a large renovation project, and we began serving women. And when I left more than 18 years later, more than 9,000 women had chosen life for their children. They had chosen life because there was hope and help nearby. And community pregnancy help organizations make such a difference for women.
Wow, 9,000.
Yes.
What period of time, Cindy? I think that's a really important thing for us to know and to understand. It's an encouraging statistic there.
Right, absolutely. It was over an 18-year period. And I will say that in Missouri, we were very forthright in helping people who were working on the legislative issue to get legislation through that actually helped protect women more. And so that really did impact our numbers, and it impacted our effectiveness. And there are no words that can really describe the power of a community rallying together, churches locking arms and saying yes to the lives of women, that they will intervene and that they will help pregnancy centers so that they then have the practical help and hope that they need to be able to choose life. They don't have to choose abortion. No woman should have to choose to terminate a pregnancy.
So, and as we think about that, you know, as I say, it's encouraging because I think that one of the big challenges in the pregnancy help community is raising awareness. I think that the average Christian may not know how to connect someone to those resources. The average person isn't aware if someone shows up in their life, in their world, and maybe it's, you know, a peer, maybe it's the daughter of a peer, and you know, the circumstances are outlined and this pregnancy is just, it cannot go forward. There's no apartment or it will threaten a job or, you know, the relationship is unsafe. We all are reinventing the wheel trying to come up with answers instead of knowing that we can refer to pregnancy help centers. There are, I think, like, did I see recently 4,000 pregnancy help centers in the country right now?
Right, right. Yes, Heartbeat International has an option line that women call. It's a consultation line. It's really the first point of contact for women who are facing the severe crisis of an unplanned pregnancy, and it allows them to have a safe place, a safe place to chat, and then a safe place for a referral. And that is a great option for people. It's optionline.org. They can either find pregnancy centers near them, or they could actually refer a woman to optionline.org, because we are answering that phone line every day, all day long, 365 days a year. More than 1,000 women are calling Option Line every day for pregnancy help referrals, and they're really able to get that initial crisis intervention. Somebody on the end of the line who says, I care about you, I'm here for you, let me get you someplace that is right there nearby. And that's what Option Line is doing.
Well, and it's 1-800-712-HELP. Everybody can remember that. Huh. Everybody can know it. I'm so glad that you said this. Here it is. You know, you don't even have to know where the local center or the closest center is located. Just know the number and be aware that, again, you know, there are people who are very well experienced and well equipped to offer real support. There's a text option. It's helpline. You text the words helpline, no spacing, to 313131. Could not be simpler. Or as Cindy mentioned, you just go to optionline.org to access all of the ways that you can put people in touch with those resources. Let's talk about your experiences as CEO at a local center. What are some of the, a couple of the stories that really stay with you now that you've moved out of, you know, serving at that level?
I think of a young Baptist couple. They were both 18, seniors in high school, and Anna and Garrett have given their testimony several times in Washington, D.C. through Babies Go to Congress. But Anna and Garrett were scared to death. They felt like they would be abandoned or bring shame upon their parents. They didn't want to have to tell people. They hadn't listened. They made a mistake. But they had heard their pastor, and that is the key. They had heard their pastor talk about pregnancy care center many times. From the platform, we had been featured at the missions convention. We were part of the missions giving, and they knew that we might be a good place for them. So they decided to call, and they said, we told ourselves if we didn't feel comfortable with how you treated us, we would call the abortion clinic in St. Louis. But he said, 20 minutes after I called Pregnancy Care Center, I felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulders. Anna and Garrett chose life for their baby girl, Emma. She is now in first grade, and Garrett is a youth pastor. They're in Missouri, thriving. They've married. They've had another child. They own a home. They're doing so well. They're really the typical storyline of a lot of pregnancy help organizations. When they work with women and men, they can make such a tremendous difference in the trajectory of their lives, and they impact communities for good.
I think people might be surprised to hear that you have a story of a couple. I think we have a lot of stereotypes in mind. Maybe it's a poor woman of color, or maybe it's a young teen. But the women who are choosing abortion don't necessarily fit either of those profiles.
That's right. I will say an unplanned pregnancy touches women. Our client population was 12 to 45, women who were living in their cars, but also women who were driving up in fancy cars, who had nice homes. We ran the gamut of different women, women who have an unplanned pregnancy, or if they're in an abusive relationship, or if they're in a situation where they've had an abuse where they've been violated. They need a safe place. And Christians and communities can rise up, join together, help their local pregnancy help organizations, and provide options for these women.
Wow, 12 years old.
Yes.
How in the world do you handle situations like that?
It's rough. You surround the whole family with a safety net is what you do. And you bring in counseling. You bring in, ongoing help. You work with local authorities. Pregnancy centers are very good at this. They do not panic when a severe situation arises, and they are able to walk through that situation with the whole family. We're often in touch with grandparents, you know, whose child is now having a child, and pregnancy centers step in the gap for everyone in the family, not just the young woman. If they will let us work with them, we will happily do so, because we can really ease the burden of the crisis for everyone.
Cindy Boston is our guest. She's Vice President of Heartbeat International and has a lot of experience in the pregnancy help community at serving in a local center in Springfield, Missouri as CEO. And I mentioned we went to Babies. I met you at Babies Go to Congress. And
yeah.
Just describe that event, because that's one, I think, such a winsome way that Heartbeat is advancing the mission.
Yes, you know, legislators are often in bubbles, and it's not necessarily that they want to be in a bubble, but they have a lot of people feeding them information, a lot of pressure coming at them. And what we do is we go into the halls of Congress and we meet with legislators. We help them understand that pregnancy centers are good for America and that we really help changing and bettering communities. We're renewing communities by helping young couples, helping young women in crisis pregnancy. We're not only helping at the point of crisis, but we're really helping change how they live their lives and their goals and dreams in the future. And so we're taking these clients into the halls of Congress, and they tell their stories to legislators. And I've never seen it. It's just always effective, because legislators love it when they hear stories from people in their districts, and they love it to when they hear stories of life change that doesn't cost the government money. And so we go in and we tell those stories.
Plus babies. So
yes, the babies make all the difference, right?
Oh, and I know you've got some memorable ones. I'll give you a moment to think of a story of one of those moms and babies, one of the moms with her baby going to Congress, as we take a short break. Our phones are open if you'd like to call and join us with our guest, Cindy Boston, 1-800-811-3003. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Back in a few.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Many people today fight a never-ending battle with anxiety. Dr. Timothy Jennings says it's important to remember that anxiety is almost always the symptom of a deeper problem. If you're feeling anxious, Dr. Jennings invites you to step back and ask, okay, what is the reason I'm having anxiety? When we ponder what might be causing our anxious thoughts and feelings, we can ask God to help us understand what triggers us and ultimately move to a place of peace and tranquility. Learn more from Dr. Timothy Jennings at MyFaithRadio.com.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
That's our number, and our phone lines are open if you'd like to join us with our guest. And we're talking with Cindy Boston, who is Vice President of Heartbeat International. And Heartbeat is an affiliate organization for pregnancy help centers. And she has been Vice President since January of last year, after serving on the board of directors for a while and also chairing the board for Missouri's Alliance for Life for 6 years, now serving also on the Citizens for Community Values Board in Ohio, I believe. Cindy's a proud mother of two sons, Josh and Caleb. And I'm just so excited for you and your leadership position, Cindy. And when, you know, some of the stories of the women taking their children to meet their elected representatives in Washington, some are fun, some are funny, but some are so touching. Share one of those stories with us about Heartbeat's annual event, When Babies Go to Congress.
Yes, we had a young lady named Savannah, and she had her baby in November, and she brought baby Beckham to Washington, D.C. when he was 2 months old. It was the most powerful presentation story I've ever seen. I mean, there's no denying when you're holding a newborn, and the power of that child in any set of arms is amazing. But when you realize this child might not have made it, this child's mom didn't know that she could go forward with this pregnancy. But now this baby is here because of a pregnancy center, because a community cared, because a community gave, and because folks gave from the heart. Just much like the Christmas season, we give from the heart this Christmas season. They give to pregnancy help organizations. Savannah actually got sick the night before babies go to Congress, but she insisted on going that next morning because she knew her story was powerful, and she said, there are legislators who don't believe in the life issue, and she says, I need to tell my story to them. And I'm telling you, she was a jaw. Everybody was just amazed at her story, and we had all the legislators hold that baby. So they can't argue against the life that's been saved. I'll just say that.
You know, one of the things that I do want to give you the chance to talk about is something that's somewhat innovative and something that is controversial in some circles, but that has been saving lives. And I've seen numbers maybe as high as over 300 lives saved through abortion pill reversal or the abortion reversal pill. Tell us what that involves and why it's important for us to understand it.
Well, there are all kinds of innovative things that Heartbeat is doing. Now, Heartbeat has not done the abortion pill reversal, but it is a technique that we are training, giving information to our pregnancy help leaders across the globe, really. This technique has been developed, and it is it's a last chance for a woman who has taken a very first abortion pill. There's a series of pills. And the first pill, if they take that first pill, there is a chance to save the child still if she gets the proper intervention medically. And so there is a network out there that provides that service. And the information and the contact information for that is abortionpillreversal.com. There's an 800 number there that women can call, and they can find a doctor who gives that medical intervention for an abortion pill procedure if she's wanting to stop it after the first pill. We see so many women who do want to do that.
And it has to do with somehow managing, mediating the hormone levels. Right. And so why is there controversy around it, Cindy?
One would wonder, wouldn't it? You know, we believe that every woman deserves a chance, even the very last chance, to say yes to life for her child. And I don't understand why it's controversial, because it's a procedure that some women want. And if we're all about the health care of women and providing good care for women and letting women make their own decisions and choices, we should be for this as well. We should want women to have this last moment option. And that's why it's something that we're training up, on that procedure. We're training how to refer and what to tell women. And it's just such a great option for pregnancy centers to be able to say, listen, you're not alone, and we can get you connected to people who can help.
You know, it seems to me, I want to give you a chance to, that's really wonderful, and I applaud it. And if you want to know more about it, I urge you to really do your research, because there are medical professionals on both sides. You're going to hear abortion rights advocates say it's junk science, but seek out what the medical professionals are saying in their research and in their practice. Before you make a decision about this, don't just swallow what an abortion rights advocate would say to you. Cindy, I want to give you a chance to talk about, you know, the mission and the big picture. Someone asked me recently, you know, what is your end game? What are you really hoping to do? Are you hoping to see abortion end in your lifetime? And yes, of course. You know, the question is then, well, how do you plan to do that? You know, but I want to give you a chance to just cast the vision for us. You know, we're all familiar with things that people will say along the lines, for example, well, you'll never end abortion. It's always been around. You know, women will take things into their own hands, and they're going to do it unsafely, so it has to be legal. I mean, there are a million reasons why people will say women need abortion. But you've already told us that women need support. You've already given us, you know, an answer to this question. But I want to give you a chance to cast the full vision of why you're doing what you do, what you really are hoping for. What are your hopes for the outcome and your positive expectations?
Sure. Well, Heartbeat's vision is to make abortion unwanted today and unthinkable for future generations. You know, when you look at the Hebrew midwives in Exodus 1, and they risk their lives to save the unborn children, such a significant sacrifice. They put their lives on the line. We don't have to do that today. We can help women, and we can help their children by getting involved, by giving, by praying, and by volunteering. And Heartbeat stands ready to help the 2,400 locations across the globe, help the leaders of those locations and their team members, their staff and their board. We really equip them to do the good work of the boots on the ground, to be the people who are intervening daily for women and children in their communities. And that's the vision of Heartbeat. So no woman needs to be alone, whether she's had an abortion or whether she's thinking about having an abortion. We want her to know there's a safe place at a pregnancy center near her.
You know, and I think that people will sometimes talk about the hard cases, about rape and incest. And, you know, it took me a long time to be persuaded that the children are still innocent and that we don't execute victims of crimes, you know, and that it's been very interesting in conversation with people who will insist upon abortion being legal in cases of rape to ask them what they are doing to try to reduce rape rates, what they are doing to try to, you know, stiffen penalties against people who perpetrate that crime. And of course, the answer is nothing ever. But I'm more interested in a hard case of a different kind, of the hard heart. I heard a woman on a radio recently, and she has a public profile with the Shout Your Abortion movement, and I'm not going to name her, but she was interviewed, and it was a public interview that aired, and she basically said, you know, it was a not committed relationship. The timing wasn't right for me. I have no religious conviction about, you know, life before birth, and therefore it was not an emotional decision for me. It was a medical procedure, and I didn't have a moment of regret. I felt only relief, and I would do it again in the same circumstances. To me, that represents a mindset that's out there that it also, in my opinion, reflects a hardness of heart. How, you know, if you were encountering a woman who is of that mindset and you had the chance to have a conversation with her about carrying forward her pregnancy, Cindy, where would you go with that conversation?
Well, I think I've held the babies of women who have been raped. And never once have I seen them regret having their child. Some have placed them in adoption and put them in good hands of a family that could care for them, and it allowed her to go on with her life. Others have chosen to parent those children. No life is without a plan from a holy maker who has good things in store for us. And that is really what I would let her know, is that she is not alone. The number one thing that stops abortion in the United States is another person, somebody standing in the gap. And in the case of rape, someone standing in the gap still makes a big difference for her. And as we offer to do that, we make a tremendous difference in her ability to find perspective and to really carry forward something that God has allowed to happen. And every child has a plan, and we believe that she has a plan as well.
Cindy, thank you so much. There's so much more we could say, but our time is short. We really appreciate you sacrificing some of your Sunday evening for us, and I hope we'll get a chance to visit again in the future.
Look forward to it. Thank you, and God bless.
There's more about Cindy Boston and the work she does at cradlemyheart.org. Please visit there for the links to her, more about her bio and the work that she does through Heartbeat International. Now stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones for your calls and questions. 1-800-811-3003. It's 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
We are live tonight, and our phones are open for you at 1-800-811-3003. And I'd like to hear your thoughts about some stories that have been in the news this week on the abortion issue. In particular, this story about the woman who wrote about her miscarriage for Romper. She's had several miscarriages, I think three, but she also had an abortion. And she wrote a piece saying that they were the same. They were the loss of a dream. They were the loss of an idea. But really, there was no difference. And therefore, abortion is, you know, something that will make you sad, just as miscarriage will, but it's not anything that you ought to feel badly about in terms of having any guilt or having it be anything really substantially different from miscarriage. You know, her premise is that something is wrong with the fetus, so the body will reject it. And so in her case for abortion, she said something was way off in the timing, so her will rejected it, which is, she tries to make morally equivalent. What do you think about that? Planned Parenthood tweeted out the story and was very much in favor of it. They just quoted from the article. There's a common misconception that the woman who miscarries is a very different person than the woman who aborts, but I'm here to say there's no difference. I'm both of those women. Well, wow, a lot of moms who have miscarried and have not aborted really wanted to take exception with that. 1-800-811-3003. There is a connection between abortion and miscarriage, but I don't know very many women who would say that there's no difference between those experiences. And is that offensive? And what would you say to someone who reasons that they're the same? 1-800-811-3003. I know it can be very sensitive if you have had either a miscarriage or an abortion, and we, of course, will protect your privacy. You don't have to give your name, but would love to hear your story and your reaction to the idea that abortion and miscarriage are the same. 1-800-811-3003. The women I know who have experienced both elective abortion and spontaneous abortion or miscarriage have said that, you know, the miscarriage helped them process what was truly the loss at the center of the abortion. That really, until the miscarriage occurred, the abortion was not fully real to them, in which case for some it was absolutely shattering to realize that they had taken that on voluntarily, that they had caused it. One of the first few times that I shared my story in a women's gathering about redemption, because when I share my story about abortion, my story is about redemption. It's about how Jesus Christ forgave me, showed mercy when I didn't deserve it, because if we deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy, and called me to share his love and tell of his love for others who are broken over their sin. And I was sharing my story about how that had unfolded in my life. And, you know, women would come and share their stories with me, too. But the first time that anyone ever stepped forward to say, I understand your grief, I had a miscarriage, I was so taken by the grace of her being willing to walk across a room and say that to me, for her not to be angry at me for having done something that destroyed a child when she had so desperately wanted a child and had not had the chance to have that baby. Such grace was offered to me. And I'd found it more than once in the years that I've shared my story. But I would never presume on that grace and say, our grief is in common. We're the same woman. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Tell me your thoughts about abortion and miscarriage. There's a ministry, and we've spoken with the leaders of the ministry, Rich and Mercy, in the Twin Cities area, and they reach out to women offering care after miscarriage and abortion, partly because it's part of the founder's experience to have had both experiences. But for me, this is, such an embodiment of God's grace. We can talk about this if you have something to share and you'd be willing to join us at 1-800-811-3003. And we do have a copy of Loved Baby, Sarah Philpott's book about miscarriage, and a help for those who have experienced child loss through spontaneous miscarriage. 1-800-811-3003 is a beautiful resource, and there are details about it at cradlemyheart.org. So call if you'd like to share your story with us. We also could talk about the piece that Town Hall published that I wrote this week. Washington Post had a story about a woman who was training to be an abortion doula. She's also a labor and childbirth doula, but she had an abortion. And so then she wanted to improve the experience that she had for other women, because it was a very lonely experience. So when she saw a flyer asking for, you know, women to come and train and be abortion doulas, she decided she would do that. And she writes very candidly about what the training was like. And to me, the Washington Post piece was very sympathetic toward the woman named Grace who wrote this piece. But it also was very much of an indictment of the whole abortion milieu, everything about it, about the abortion business and the providers and the whole idea that holding a woman's hand for 5 minutes is making a difference in our world. The headline of the piece in the Washington Post talked about, you know, 5 minutes of care in the most complicated situation. Like, why is it complicated if it's not the taking of a human life? And if it's the taking of a human life, why are we offering women nothing more than 5 minutes of hand-holding? So, you know, whenever a piece like this gets published, which is remarkable that Town Hall published my rebuttal, if you will, or really it was just me trying to sound a warning, you know, that if you read this piece and you think that this is what abortion is all about, finding someone kind to hold your hand through it, let me tell you that there's much more that you need to know about it. But wow, now you scroll down to the comment section, and there are folks who refuse to believe that my motive was simply to warn others about the deception that women face when they go in and ask questions about what abortion is and what it is that they're going to be experiencing. And, you know, it may be hard to believe that in this world where, you know, you can find an app that will tell you that, well, you know, at 13 weeks, your baby is the size of a kumquat. I mean, some of them are very humorous, the apps on fetal development and pregnancy. But the information is out there. There's no question about it. But when you're 20 years old, 21, 22 years old, and not happy about being pregnant, believe me, you're not on the Endowment for Human Development's website looking at the, you know, change from the cytoblast to the zygote to the fetus. You're just not. You're entrusting the people that you've gone to, and when you ask, is it a baby, and they tell you it's just tissue, that's what you picture. And there are people who just cannot accept that that is so. Now, I don't say this to you so that you feel sorry for me, and I don't say it to you necessarily to even try to shut down the shady operators who are still deceiving women and taking their money and telling them that something is different than what's actually happening. They're aware that at 12 weeks there's a body involved with a face and fingers and toes. They're aware of that, but they don't tell women that. It's very hard for bystanders to take this in. That's part of what I've been called to do, is to share that truth. 1-800-811-3003. Maybe there are other parts of it that's just really for you, just you just can't get over it when you hear a story about someone who chose abortion. And something you've always wanted to ask such a woman. I'm very open to your question. I'll let you ask me that tough question. How could you? Why did you? Didn't you really know? I mean, there are a lot of skeptics on town hall. There, you know, thankfully there were also a lot of people who understood that I was trying to warn people and thought that I had done so effectively, you know, by telling the truth. Because ultimately that's my purpose, is to tell the truth. And tell the truth in a way that's kind and gentle, that helps women who have made the mistake to understand that it's not the end for them. It's not going to separate them from God forever. And it's not an unforgivable sin. That Jesus loves you. And that he, as a hymn says, the worship song says, he had you on his mind when he climbed up on that hill. For he saw you with eternal eyes while you were yet in sin. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our friend. That's my purpose. But if you have a question about what came before when I was immature and ignorant, I will open myself to your question and I would welcome it at 1-800-811-3003. And why? So that you can understand and approach women with kindness and gentleness. Now, you know, some have hard hearts, as I mentioned in our first segment with our guest, Cindy Boston. Some do have hard hearts. Some say there was nothing wrong. We may need to get a little bit tougher with a woman who says, I was relieved and it was a medical procedure and, you know, I would do it again and I'm shouting about it and it's a net good for society and all of the brazenness and shamelessness that's out there around abortion today. Maybe a different approach. But what when someone is telling you, I was deceived and I'm broken by it, for you to say, not possible, is very easy, by the way, from a keyboard and a screen. I'm doubting these people have ever had a conversation with anyone who's actually experienced what those of us who made that choice have experienced or who had that choice made for us. Tell me your thoughts. 1-800-811-3003. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Short break, and then we'll be back with your calls. Join us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Hi, I'm Tiffany. I had been in and out of jail, been to detox multiple times. So I enrolled in Teen Challenge, and I'm learning who Jesus is, and he is now everything to me.
Hey, this is Chad from the band Unspoken. Teen Challenge has helped thousands of teens and adults all across the country to end their drug addictions through the power of Jesus Christ. You can call them toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit teenchallengeusa.com.
What's the value of a promise? Well, when it comes from a fallible human being, not much. Even with the best intentions, we often forget or change our minds. But Monday, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that when God makes a promise, it will absolutely come to pass. Listen Monday to Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
Mornings and evenings at 8:30 Central Time on Faith Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Our phones are open, and that's our number for you, toll free, 1-800-811-3003. And are you aware of a pregnancy help community in your location? That's, I think, a question that's really important for us to ask as well. I mentioned that with our guest, Cindy Boston, who's vice president of one of the biggest pregnancy help organizations in the country, Heartbeat International, with over 2,000 centers in the U.S. And, you know, Cindy said, okay, yep, you can call Option Line or you can go to optionline.org. And some of you may not need to. Some of you are aware of a pregnancy help center. Maybe you are already involved. You volunteer or you support it through your time, talent, and treasures. You're a donor. Maybe you serve in some way, or maybe you just, you know that your church is part of it. Let's give a shout out. 1-800-811-3003. If you would like to just call and give us the name of a pregnancy help center in your community, so that people will be aware. You can tell us where you live and what the local center is that you partner with or that you're aware of. For me, I can get us started. I live in Peachtree City, and I support Fayette Pregnancy Resource Center, along with several others in the local area and elsewhere. But that's the one closest to me. And Lucy Huff is the executive director, and she's been a tremendous support and friend as we have worked on getting Cradle My Heart on the air and getting the book published. I met her when I first moved to Georgia, and boy, did she make me feel welcome. We had a bond and a connection right away because of our understanding of the value of life and of the importance that we would all work toward upholding it and helping those who are in need to make life-affirming decisions. How about you? Is there a pregnancy center that you're aware of and that you stand with and support? Give them a shout-out now at 1-800-811-3003. That's our number here at Cradle My Heart Radio, 1-800-811-3003. It's kind of an amazing story from Live Action News recently that the pregnancy help message is, while we're saying that there's a need to raise awareness, but the pregnancy help message is being heard. There are, I think, as I said, I think that the number is 4,000 pregnancy help centers compared to 700 some odd abortion businesses right now. And that is, you know, a complete flip of the equation not that very long ago. The pregnancy help community is people support it, and it works because there's an understanding that this is what people need. This is what women and couples need to be able to carry forward a pregnancy when the circumstances are not ideal. You know, when that's an understatement to say the circumstances of a pregnancy are not ideal. Sometimes the circumstances are life-threatening. There may be partner violence involved. There may be very dire circumstances. But people are getting the message that even in the most extenuating circumstances, love will find a way. And a life-affirming decision is possible. So pro-life clinics, the story, and this appeared at the beginning of this month on liveactionnews.org, it's liveaction.org. Pro-life clinics outnumber abortion facilities 4,000 to 739. They're basing this in part on a report from the New York Times a few years ago. Nationally, pro-life pregnancy centers are, in fact, outnumbering. And so this is what's so remarkable to me. In 2013, there were 2,500 pregnancy centers compared to 1,800 abortion businesses. In 2015, just 2 years later, the number of abortion facilities has plummeted to 739 compared to 4,000 pregnancy centers. And in Connecticut, wow, there's really a battle going on. I mean, if you're aware of that battle in Connecticut, call and give a shout out to, you know, one of the centers that needs our prayer and our support there too, because NARAL has determined to shut down pregnancy centers in Connecticut. And according to a report in 2015 from NARAL, pro-life centers are outnumbering abortion clinics 27 to 19 in Connecticut. So the report accuses pregnancy centers of lying to women and, misrepresenting their services, which include free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds, free baby gear, maternity housing, assistance finding a job, and yes, even helping the expectant mother to choose life. They are doing all those things because they're not offering abortion. NARAL says they're deceptive. Pregnancy centers are so effective in their pro-life work that Hartford, the state capital, is currently reviewing a measure that would dictate what pregnancy centers say and how they advertise. And any center that doesn't stick to the government-mandated language could be fined $100 a day. I mean, we've heard about these strategies that have been undertaken elsewhere by abortion rights advocates and abortion businesses. And, you know, generally they're found to not be constitutional because you can't mandate what organizations that are incorporated by the government are able to say. So, you know, there's a battle happening in Hartford, a battle happening in Illinois and in California over these types of laws. But with such an abundance of pro-life centers offering financial and emotional support to women facing unplanned pregnancies, abortion facilities are concerned that they may not be able to reach their abortion quotas. And we know from former abortion workers that there are quotas. The abortion businesses may say that they're not, but we hear the testimony of those who have left the abortion trade to say that, indeed, there are quotas and there were rewards with pizza parties and so on from Planned Parenthood and other abortion businesses. 1-800-811-3003. Is there a pregnancy center that you would like to advance by sharing the name of it with us and telling us how you're involved? Maybe you just you see their sign, and or you read in your church bulletin every week that your church supports that center. Give us a call, 1-800-811-3003, and help spread the word. We had a caller who didn't want to go on the air, but he said, Frank called in from St. Paul, and he said there's research from Japan saying that abortion is a net gain for society. He disagreed. He said abortion creates fewer consumers who contribute to society as a whole. And, you know, if you look at the utilitarian view, there are a lot of social scientists who agree with the point that Frank is making. You know, when I asked Cindy Boston about what it is that she hopes to have happen, and she said, you know, they want to make abortion unnecessary in this generation and unthinkable in the future for future generations. There's a large swath of society that says overpopulation is a big problem for the planet and it's contributing to global warming and people are the reason, therefore abortion is a net good. And Japan, I think, has, they're in demographic winter. I don't think that they are reproducing at a sustainable level because of abortion and having adopted it as a way to try to control population. But everybody who is in any sort of business selling anything understands that if you have more customers, you're going to be more prosperous. You know, so for producers, having smaller markets is not necessarily the best thing. It isn't as simple as saying overpopulation is the problem. And there's also, as we've mentioned before on this program, the research out there that shows that if you gave every person now living on the planet 1,000 square feet to live in, we wouldn't all take up the state of Texas. There's lots of room on the planet. What's needed is human innovation to end the suffering that's existing on the planet as well. What's needed is the best and brightest of our hearts and minds to advance the cause of life and not to think that death is the answer when problems present themselves. I thank you for joining us and thinking it through tonight. And I know that sometimes it can be tough to call with an answer if you haven't been considering the question that we put forward, but you can always get in touch with us with an email. I read my email personally with the address kim@cradlemyheart.org, and it is I'm the only person with access to that address. So if you'd like to contact me confidentially, please feel free to do so that way. You can always call us at our toll-free number, and when we're not on the air, we will promise to return your call within 24 hours at 1-800-811-3003. We'd love to hear from you and would love to connect with you because we understand that together we're better. The whole thing about being in community with one another means that we help, we listen, we care. This is God's way. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Remember, Jesus loves you and so do we. We'll be here next week. Hope to see you then.